Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Kevin was just telling me about the strategy for their upcoming playoff game in baseball they have scheduled tonight. Really, I wouldn't steal and hit and run as much as you think. I mean, I've got a scouting report on the other team. They actually can play.
I don't know what to say.
I just wouldn't do it. I mean, I know you're trying to impress everybody with how you manage.
How about squeeze? Do you have anything on suicide squeeze?
No, we always did a safety squeeze.
I do have a first baseman whose arm is slightly injured and bunts really well.
My point exactly. My point exactly.
It's real fast, too.
I bet he is. I bet he flies like the wind.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. I said, how's your arm, Chris? He said, oh, yeah, it's all right. I said, Chris, can you swing the bat? Kind of. I'm like, what do you mean, kind of? Well, I can come around part of the way. I said, okay. I said, are you sure you want to play? Yeah, I want to play. I'm like, okay. Can you bunt? Yeah. He went 2 for 4.
Well, there you go.
Can't beat that.
Yeah.
It's weird with two outs, though, to see a batter come up to the plate and bunt for a single. But, you know.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Take care of all your insurance needs. Purdy's have a long list of great options for you at the best prices. And with people you trust, I can't emphasize enough the trust part of it. And the Purdy's have developed that trust with their customers over decades. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Dave in Sunbury at 800-795-9565. Hi, Dave. How are you?
Okay, Steve. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for asking.
Well, there's two things. First of all, when you're telling Kevin Hur about that ball player of his, is that a replacement?
Oh, look. With him, nobody knows.
But I called you mainly for another thing. Geno Thorpe?
Yep.
Where's he transferring to?
Don't know. Hasn't made up his mind yet as to what he wants to do. Geno did a lot of really good things here. I loved how he played defense and is on the ball defense. He became a better offensive player as time went along. Certainly a guy that hustled. Negatives were that he had to be more consistent offensively and put together consistent offensive numbers, and also had a tendency to get into foul trouble. But I think whomever he goes to, he's going to help and be a good player. Is it a loss for Penn State? Yes. Do I go in the tank when I hear about somebody leaving the program? Do not, and that's just me, because I don't become I get to know people, and when they get to be seniors. Okay, now you really feel like, you've been able to lock in with them. But until that point, I don't, there's so many comings and goings. Yeah. I don't get that attached. How about that?
Well, like you said, when you get to senior, that more like they're invested, right?
Well, they're invested in at that point you say to yourself, yeah, you feel like you're really attached with them in one form or another once that happens. That's why as time goes along, you get to know kids a little bit more. I'll give you a good example. For example, I really had very little, if any, contact with Christian Hackenberg when he was a freshman. A little bit more as a sophomore. A lot more now. All right, and look, that's one of the reasons. And Kevin, I think now finally gets me a little bit. It's just you don't get attached to certain things. You know, like for example, I don't care if LeBron James wins the MVP of the finals. I could care less. Don't know the guy, but Kevin gets an award. I'm all thrilled because I know him.
Yeah. Like whatever happens, Jack Ham or somebody else that you
directly
with absolutely. Or associated with, that kind of a thing.
Absolutely. That's why I don't get, you know. But look, you get to know guys as time goes along. And for example, the Letterman's golf tournament is going to be here on the 27th of the month, and I'm going to be down there with them, a part of it. It's going to be tremendous. I mean, these guys are the deep-seated guys that stayed here. And that means something to me, but I don't, I don't get too attached. Like, oh my goodness, Geno Thorpe left. What are we gonna do? Well, we're just gonna go on and work and announce games with the roster they have.
Yeah. Well, did he have any other thing out, like academic or other things wrong with him, or just?
No, he. I mean, look, it's not as if he has a spotless record here. How about that? I mean, we know that. But, I had a nice talk with Patrick on Saturday night. All right? He's comfortable with the way things are. How about that? He's comfortable.
I'm just wondering, because the way the guy that writes for the Patriot, Dave Jones, he just acted, sort of came somewhat out of the blue, not really, But then if he's more into football and not other sports anyway, he covers basketball, but he's more of a football.
Dave is an excellent writer, and Dave really has done a great job over the years of immersing himself in basketball.
Oh, okay.
And you may not agree with Dave's opinions, but Dave is a deeply immersed basketball junkie. He is the guy that will be covering the NCAA tournament wherever he can. He gets himself to the Final Four. Dave knows a lot of people, is well connected with people, and I have great respect for what he puts out there all the time. Doesn't mean we always agree on everything. I mean, there's some things that Dave does where he has more knowledge about it than I do. But at the same time, there's some things out there that I have more knowledge than he has about it. And so, I always read it because I respect it. But okay. I think long term they're going to be okay with this. But, yeah, I know Dave's not enamored with the fact that Geno left. I understand that.
Yeah, well, see, that's why I call in, just I have my opinions. But if I can get more information that would change it, I'd like to be informed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Patrick's comfortable with the way things are right now. And I talked to him about that on Saturday night. I talked to him about it. And so, yeah.
Okay, and I'll let you go with this. Tell Kevin, I'll give him 10 more minutes, his Indy racing.
10 more. I don't even know if I could come up with 10 good minutes, Dave. I mean, I could come up with some good minutes, but 10 might be pushing it.
Well, I just had,
Hey, Dave. The Toronto race took 2 hours yesterday.
Okay.
There weren't ten good minutes in the race.
Well, that's like the NASCAR was spent more time.
Oh God! Every time you turned around, it was stopped.
Yeah.
I mean, my God. It looked like the Holland Tunnel at 5 in the afternoon.
I'll let you go, Steve.
Thanks,
talk to
Dave.
You later.
I like the 10. I like the 10 good minutes. I appreciate the offer. Not sure I can come up with 10.
You struggled for 10 seconds the other day.
I didn't think it was, but
look, deep down, we're right.
Well, I may know where you're right, but that doesn't mean I have to admit it.
Well, at some point, you're going to have to admit it.
Never.
Never. You'll never admit it.
No.
Why not?
Principle.
Stubborn.
That's right. You may call it stubbornness, yes. Some might see it that way.
Well, you know what? When they're on ovals, I love watching them on ovals. I really do. I've never liked the road racing part of it. Never have liked, hey, the Grand Prix of Detroit. Whoop-de-doo.
I'll be honest with you. I'm not much of a road racing fan either, but the Toronto race, there was some good passing there. But I'm not a huge. Yeah, I like the ovals better.
Yeah, but I don't mean people getting into the parking lot to get a space. I'm talking about the race.
Oh, my mistake then.
I mean, that's where all the passing took place.
You know, one thing I do like though.
I'll tell you what disappoints me. What disappoints me is this: is that they get to Pocono and they draw what, 25,000.
Yeah, I don't know what the number was
maybe 30,000. How about that? Let's be generous, between 25,000 and 35,000. How about that? Is that fair enough?
Okay, we can start there.
All right. I don't understand with the speed that they put together. I mean, like pure speed. They're running that racetrack 30 to 35 miles an hour faster than NASCAR.
Yes.
Now I realize that NASCAR has its deep-seated loyalty, and I think that's tremendous. That's what creates such interest in a sport. When you get that deep-seated loyalty, I'm loyal to Jeff Gordon. I'm loyal to Dale Jr. I'm loyal to Joey Logano. I'm loyal to Jimmy Johnson. Okay, I got it. All right? And you develop your fan base like that. So when they finally get to your area, you want to get out there. You want to watch them. I got it. Now, an IndyCar doesn't have that. You don't have that, hey, I can't wait to go out and see Elio Castroneves. I can't wait to go out and see. I mean, more people want to go out and watch Danica Patrick finish 22nd, okay, than they want to see Juan Pablo Montoya finish first. But if you want to just see pure racing speed, to me, I mean, I'm talking like, I mean, real legit, all out 225 speed and passing at that speed on that track. I mean, they go 35 miles an hour faster than NASCAR does.
See, that's what I'm looking forward to at the end of August.
But that's what I don't get why that hasn't come, because Americans love speed. They love it. I mean, we talk about, you know, bigger, faster players in basketball, bigger, faster players in football. We talk about the speed coming down a mountain in Lindsey Vonn. We talk about, you know, the speed needed even for a BMX bike in the X Games or on a snowboard. The speed of hockey now, up and down, up and down, up and down. All right. Oh, man, can you see Chapman throws a 101-mile-per-hour fastball? Wow, he hit a 450-foot home run. We're enamored with speed and power. And that's what gets me about the IndyCar thing. You're talking about speed and power, more so than NASCAR. And yet it doesn't draw the numbers NASCAR does.
Well, here's last year's Pocono poll, and it beat the 221.7 that Marco put up the year before. But it was Montoya who ran 223.7. 223.8 was his when you round it up. It was 223.8. That is about a minute and 20 seconds to go 2.5 miles. He did not lift his foot off the accelerator in 2.5 miles for those two laps. That's what is really unbelievable, because in NASCAR, and if you've watched the race, the Pocono race in NASCAR, and this is not a diss to NASCAR by any means, it's a different type of racing, I get it. They actually have to run that like a road course. They're shifting, they have to lift, sometimes they have to use the brake. With the IndyCars, the way this track is made, they don't lift. It's foot to the floor for 2.5 miles every lap.
Wow. Yeah. And that's what gets me. Now I realize there isn't, for whatever reason, look, Sebastian Bourdais, Jean
Girard.
That's
the problem. That's the problem.
They don't know who these people are.
Right.
And that's a big, I mean, NASCAR has name recognition. And that's a big part of it. You're talking about speed, power, and it's just, for whatever reason, people are not enamored with it. Enough to buy. I mean, I've really been surprised. I thought going back to Pocono, they'd be able to sell the place out. No. All right, we'll come back with more.
I'd like to see what happens this year with it not being on a holiday weekend. That will be the real telltale sign if Pocono and if this area can support IndyCar.
Boy, I don't know. I don't think that has anything to do with it. I really don't. I don't think the holiday weekend has anything to do with it.
I hope personally you're wrong, but you may very well be correct.
We will come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Even when they grow up, your kids can still surprise you. My son calls to tell me he bought his first new car, picked the make, model, and dealer all by himself, and negotiated his own deal. But when it came to insuring his new ride, he wanted Dad's advice. I told him one word, Selective. They've always done right by me. It's nice to know you're still needed.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
All three deals are neck and neck as they come down to the finish line. And they're all tied at 19,915. Looks like at SMC, everyone's a winner.
It's the Sunbury Motors Ford Triple Crown of Savings. Choose from either a new 2015 Ford Escape or the fuel-efficient Ford Fusion or a 2015 Ford Focus equipped with heated leather seats and a power moonroof for an amazing price of $19,915. You heard right. A new 2015 Ford Escape, a 2015 Ford Fusion, or top-of-the-line Ford Focus for just $19,915. Sunbury Motors has over 250 new Fords available with savings up to 10 grand and interest rates as low as 0% for up to 72 months.
View the entire inventory online at sunburymotors.com.
The Triple Crown sale won't last long, so hurry in to Sunbury Motors. Satisfying more customers and selling more cars for over a century. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
Well, the Phillies went and battled the Pirates tooth and nail and lost every game, and games were going extra innings. They lost yesterday 1-0, and it's, you know things are bad for you when you get great pitching and you can't find a hit.
I believe this is a 10-game losing streak right now.
Or, yeah, but it's the three games they played in Pittsburgh. Tell me, how much better could they have played? I mean, defensively good, pitching really good. I mean, all three were, one-run games, right? Two of them were extra innings.
Yeah, every one of them was tight, but, boy, that's... Actually, I think they've lost six in a row and 10 on the road.
You've lost... Well, here, when you're going bad, you'll get a really well-pitched game, and that's the day you're not hitting. Conversely, you'll get a day where, hey, we put 8 runs on the board. Well, that's the day the pitching goes south and you lose 10-8. And it's just part and parcel of just not being good. And there's certain guys that you look at that that you really like as individuals. Mikel Franco, I've liked him since the first day I saw him in Williamsport. I thought, wow, this guy's a player. They kept him in Williamsport all summer, so I saw him play a dozen times that summer. I thought, this guy's moving up. This guy's a good-looking ball player. And you see him on the major league level, and I really like how he handles himself on the big level. He's got staying power. He's going to be there for a while. You heard Chris Wheeler and I talk about Roman Quinn. Roman Quinn is the shortstop of the future with this team. Maybe they'll move him to second base because of Crawford. We'll see. Because, I mean, Crawford probably is the shortstop of the future there. But Quinn's going to be a part of what's going on. Quinn, you put him at the top of the order, Kevin, he can flat out fly. This will be my 10th season of broadcasting the spikes coming up. In the first 9 seasons, I can tell you in no uncertain terms, the single quickest player I've seen in person in terms of pure speed is Roman Quinn. There's really not a debate. I don't sit there and go, ooh. And I'll give you an example. I saw Mookie Betts play. Mookie Betts was a second baseman for Lowell. And I thought Betts could really run. Quinn's better. Quinn's a better player. Now, where he ends up in all this, I don't know. But it's not as if they don't have guys that along the way I didn't like. The problem is there's been too many guys along the way that I didn't like. When I say I don't like them, I'm talking watching them play. I'm not sure that, they were good enough to move far up in the chain. Or there was a good chance they were going to get stuck in the chain. I remember they had this one kid from Notre Dame that I really liked, that I thought maybe they'd convert to being an outfielder or a second baseman named Jeremy Barnes out of Notre Dame. Liked him a lot. Never got going. Never got any traction. Liked Sebastian Valle, the catcher, a lot. You know how much I like Cesar Hernandez. I liked him. I thought he'd go up the ladder. Darren Ruff, I thought, would go up the ladder. Franco, I thought, would go up the ladder. Galvis, I thought Galvis would go up the ladder. Cody Ashe, no. Never thought Cody Ashe would get up the ladder. Proved me wrong dramatically. But right now, they are stuck in quicksand. And they got 3 brilliantly pitched games over the weekend, and it was a weekend they couldn't score runs. Conversely, it should be pointed out, the Pirates have had tremendous pitching the last 6 weeks. Tremendous pitching. Burnett's pitched well. Liriano's pitched well. Garrett Cole is an ace. He's a number one. But then again, let's remember something. Remember when I talked about the Detroit Lions a couple of years ago, and I said the Detroit Lions should be good now? They have first overall pick in the draft, they got Matthew Stafford. Second overall pick in the draft, they got Calvin Johnson. Right? Second overall pick of the draft, they picked up Ndamukong Suh. They picked up Fairley. Hey, they should be. They keep getting high draft picks. Well, look at the Pirates. Garrett Cole, first overall pick. Andrew McCutchen, second overall pick. Pedro Alvarez, second overall pick. Hey, Neil Walker, top 10 first-round pick. Well, you keep drafting that high, you gotta get somebody.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you. Today's show brought to you by our great friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Look, you want to be with people you trust that you know will get you the right insurance at the best price. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Easy answer. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. The Cody Ashe situation is one where, Ruben Amaro was critical of the knowledge of fans about what they were trying to do. I think that's a fair statement to make, right?
Yes.
That he'd been critical of the fans as to, like, they don't know as much as we do. We know what we're doing. Essentially, right? It'd be a fair statement.
Oh, I think that's exactly what he was saying.
Right. The Cody Ashe thing blows every hole in that theory. You're telling me, doesn't matter, I'm not a fan, but you're telling Philly fans that back in November and December, when you were mapping things out, You plan to send Cody Ashe to the minors to learn how to play left field because you're going to bring Michael Franco up. Really? Of course not. Of course not. Were you going to teach him to play left field in the instruction league because next year you're going to bring Michael Franco up? Doubt it. This was a seat-of-your-pants move. And not only that, it's how you handle things that also makes a statement to other people. They lost that game last month, 4-3 to the Pirates, right? The second the game was over, that's when they told Cody Ashe they were going to send him to the minors to tell him about playing left field. The entire meeting lasted 20 minutes. And they put him a little bit in left field in spring training. Not once was he put in a spring training game in left field. And as time went in the spring, he spent less and less time in the workouts in left field. It was about a 2-1 third base to left field ratio. In 20 minutes, they had a meeting with him and sent him down. That's how much time they gave him, how much he was prepared to make this move. That's where you have a major problem as an organization, a major problem. And there was also a gap of 3 games between Ashe going down to learn left field and Franco getting called up. So Cesar Hernandez had to play third base for those 3 games along with Andres Blanco. Okay, that's why people get the impression that this is all being done by the seat of the pants. And that's what's so disheartening for Phillies fans. If you're thinking about doing this, just, you know, hey, Cody, look. Okay, I'm going to keep taking some balls in left field. Okay, look, I just want to warn you, you know, Franco's doing really well. It has nothing to do with you because we need to have you in the lineup as often as possible, but we may need you to play more left field. Just talk to people. Tell them. Make them understand ahead of time, you know, what you're thinking of. What's the plan? That way people aren't surprised. People aren't surprised. You don't want to do anything in life where you're surprised. Nobody wants that. Suddenly out of nowhere, he's told he's being sent to Lehigh Valley to learn to play left field. They gave him 20 minutes notice. This is the professional organization you want to have? It's all right. Prepare him. Talk to him. And this goes to Ryan Sandberg as well. Yeah, we told him what was going on. You did? Really, that 20 minutes kind of did it for you, huh? You let them know, hey, look, long term, this is why we're doing this, okay? We're going to be, you know, because we see you as a long-term solution for us. And you point out to them over time, look at Paul Molitor's career. He was a shortstop, and he was a second baseman and a third baseman. Then he finally moved to center field. Look at Pete Rose. Pete Rose came up as a second baseman. He played left field, right field. He played third base, and he closed out his career at the Phillies as a first baseman. You know, point out that guys have changed position over time. You know, and some of the best players in their careers have changed positions. Mickey Stanley played shortstop in the 68 World Series because they needed his bat in the lineup. It's all right to talk to people. And obviously, in this case with this kid, their communication stunk. And it's another red flag in the organization as to how they handle things. They have been roundly criticized in the media for how they've handled this. Okay? Now, I can understand, for example, that maybe they didn't think that Mike Franco would not be ready until maybe the end of July or something. But as he's going along and he's hitting and he's playing, that's when you start looking at Cody Ashe saying, hey, Cody, hey, got to talk to you a little bit. He said, hey, love how you started, love what you're doing and so forth. You're doing good things at third base. I said, but of the two guys, he can play third and not outfield. You can play both third and the outfield because you can play outfield. Okay, every day, let's take a few extra balls out there, a few extra balls. And just in case, they might move you down to the minors to play a little bit outfield to get used to it. I said, I just want to warn you. I said, don't. Right. Just talk to them. Let them know where they stand. Communication's a beautiful thing. That's this industry here. Communication. That's what we do. Communication all the time. And even in this industry, people sometimes don't talk to one another, where it's a total surprise. This show, for example, Kevin communicates with me all the time about stuff. All the time. How about this? How about that? Hey, I'm getting this person, getting that person, I'm this time, that time. I know every day he's constantly telling me what he's got coming up, or I'm telling him, hey, look, I already took care of this. I talked to this guy, this guy, this guy. We're all set. You know, I try to pick dates where, you know, when he's on vacation so I can do big things like the U.S. Women's Open. Great communication.
Works out so well.
It'll make me feel better. Hey, Ruben Amaro, for example. I'm happy with the way Rhino has gone about it. He's on the same page as we are. It's about giving young players opportunities and teaching them how to win. And that's what we're looking for from him. And that's all we need to ask of him. Do whatever he can with his staff to put these players in a position to improve. And that's what he's been doing. Talk to them. You'd be amazed having an open door means something. You'd be amazed in batting practice if you walk out and say, hey, Cody, let me chit-chat with you a little bit. You're an important part of what's going on here moving forward. Hey, between you and Franco, we think we got a couple guys that can really play. Hey, but guess what? Franco doesn't have the versatility you do. You can play outfield. He really can't. He really is locked into being a one-position player. Because of that, we're probably going to need you to start thinking a little bit more about outfield, not because he's a better third baseman than you are. You're both, you know, right in the same category. But he can't make the move, and you can, because you've got more versatility. Frame it. Give them something to work with. That's not what they did. They gave him 20 minutes, pack your bags, okay, go to Lehigh Valley, learn to play outfield. We'll eventually call you up, call you back up. Hey, great. He wasn't happy about it, nor should he have been happy about it. It was handled all wrong. It was handled all wrong. And for anybody in that organization to tell you, oh, no, we did a great job, we handled it right, that's why the fans are ticked off. It's one thing to have seen everything kind of crumble down just a little bit as to where they are in the standings. But then when you hear stories such as these, where it just gives you the impression that it's being done by the seat of their pants and the communication is bad. Wow. One thing around our area here, Kevin comes in here, of course, with I-99. It's taken a lot of pressure, by the way, off of Route 26, Pleasant Gap. Not today. There's a multi-vehicle accident on Route 26 near the Rockview State Prison. So if anybody's traveling out here and was thinking about going the back way, don't. All right. Traffic is massively backed up.
I love I-99, by the way.
So do I. I think it's been eventually here at some point in this area, they need to somehow figure out a way to finish 322. They need to finish, figure out how to finish 322. 322, which used to, it used to drop down to two lanes in Milroy. It used to drop down to two lanes in Dauphin. It used to drop, there's four or five areas that drop down to two lanes along the way. You know, Dauphin, and through that area, dropped down to two lanes. Mountain Road was down to two lanes in that area there, down near Harrisburg. Well, it's still two lanes here between Potter's Mills and Bowlesburg. I don't know. I want to say it's like an 8 or 9 mile stretch. They need to finish that. You can't sit there logically. I mean, logically. You can't sit there with a 107,000-seat stadium, a 15,000-seat arena, and have the road between the state capitol and State College suddenly for a 7 to 9 mile stretch drop down to two lanes through the mountains. I mean, it's great for Brownie's Tavern there. That's terrific. It works out great for them, but it's illogical. And they had to figure out a plan to get that to be four lanes. They have to figure that out. That's up to the governor and his staff to get out there. Yeah, look, I mean, at some point, common sense, you have to run things. I don't care whether it's a business or a government. You have to start using common sense to do things. Common sense says that you got to have a four-lane road that goes through that area. Figure it out. Make it happen.
The only big problem I could see with that stretch of road is it is one of the most awkward ways to get on to a major thoroughfare from like Interstate 80. I've never seen an interchange with interstate to interstate the way this is.
Yeah, that's because of the money part of it, Ken.
Right?
And what they want to do eventually is a flyover there, but it's not in the pipeline yet to do. They want to do a flyover, so you can just smoothly go from one to the other.
You should be able to bear to the right and get right onto Interstate 80, or bear to the left and get onto Interstate 80 on the other side.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. But that was in the original plan. It got dropped. It's like it's the same as having Thompson Bowling Arena in Tennessee be 24,500 seats. They want to have 1,000 more seats than Kentucky, but they ran out of money, so the last 10 rows are bleachers. Breslin Center at Michigan State, last 10 rows up top because they had to get over 15,000. They're bleachers. They ran out of cash.
By the way, you pay the same price for a seat back or the bleachers.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, that's what happened here. I mean, they got to a point where cash became an issue. But, you know, there is a plan to put I don't know if it's a clovered interchange there, but it's an interchange that would be a flyover kind of interchange where you smoothly go from one to the other. They built one here in State College that when you go from 99 and 220 onto 322.
Yes, I think that, yeah.
Whomever designed that and built that, that's the person that knew exactly what they were doing.
Sure did. Boy, is that a smooth segment.
Long, smooth, easy, never break stride, never break speed, and easily merge into the other. That was smart and well done. That's the person you get.
The other spot that I really like is where 99 and 26 kind of intersect. That's another very easy transition.
Yeah, they did a great job there.
But try and come out and go eastbound on Interstate 80 after a Penn State home game. Raise your hand if you've been caught in that mess.
Right. Well, exactly. You can't just fly onto the highway. You have to stop and make a left-hand turn there to then go toward, as it says, toward Williamsport. You know, okay, sure. Oh, well.
I just waited a half hour to get out of the parking lot. Now I got to wait another half hour to get onto the interstate.
Now I got to do it all over again. I know. Come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
1 minute to go 3 blocks. just in time to stand in line with the freeway looking like a parking lot. Damn this traffic jam. How I hate to be late. It hurt my motor to go so slow.
Okay, welcome back. Great to have you with us. See the Outside the Lines report yesterday on... They took a long look at 10 schools, and they were looking at football and men's basketball players and the arrest rates and then the trouble rates that they get into as opposed to the average student on campus. They found that 56% of those at the University of Florida in particular seemed to lock in on that from 2009 to 2014 during that five-year span, 56% of them basically were able to get out of it and be okay. As opposed to the average student that gets out of it and is okay 28% of the time, where the record is expunged and so forth. And it was interesting because they were talking about the access to high-level attorneys and so forth that helps. Look, teams are like any other cross-section in that you're going to have guys that are going to get in trouble. It's going to happen, and it does. At the same time, because it's sports, you know, getting quality representation does mean something. It has great meaning. We have quality representation, and they have access to it, as opposed to, with all due respect, to some very hardworking public defenders. You're still the public defender that has a caseload a mile long from people who can't afford attorneys. And that does make a big difference along the way. Now, whether these guys are guilty or not, I have no idea. None of us knows that. We don't live in Gainesville. But it was interesting to see how that played out and what the numbers were like. That has been, knock on wood, one of the saving graces here over the last 3.5 years. Since the Sean Oakman incident, before spring practice of 2012, and he was kicked off the team, I mean, knock on wood, who's been in trouble here? Who? 3.5 years when Penn State absolutely had to have everybody keep their nose clean. Think about that. I mean, think about that. At a time where this university in its football and men's basketball programs and even to a point the wrestling program, where they're high profile and they absolutely had to make sure that nobody, you know, where you hold your breath, is anybody crossing the line? Have they ever been able to get lucky? Think about that. Doesn't mean it's not going to happen, because over time things do happen. But at a critical time over this last 3.5 years where they could ill afford to have anything happen, somehow those kids stayed in line. Patrick Chambers, I see him preach it every day, and I see James Franklin preach it every day. Some of them are listening.